process of about how much of that top corner you saw. It was a little higher up than usual.
All right. Am I on?
Sounds good. Where's Johnny?
All right. We're going to start with a song, page 453 in the hymn book.
Is the camera going?
Nope. We're going to have to turn the lights off and lock the doors downstairs to get their butts up here.
You just got out here a little quicker than we did. Huh.
Yeah.
We saw it.
No, we just put our crashes on. That's all good.
All right. Sounds good. 453.
Getting there.
Oh, I love these.
This one? Huh, subject? Did you...
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stir the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting in the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
The last.
Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Woo!
Now you can make a bad noise.
Everybody
wait for it.
That's it.
Welcome, onliners. Everybody say hello, onliners.
Hello, onliners.
What? We have an onliner with us.
What?
You don't say.
Everybody say hi, David Trailer.
Hi, David Trailer.
Now stare at him and make him feel real uncomfortable.
Just get out.
Wow.
Yeah. Just Just stay put there. Prayer cards, if you're in the house. Right here. Janie, raise your hand. Janie will bring you one and a pencil. And those online are sending them to bbfohio@protonmail.com. One hand back there at least. Two hands. I see that hand. And I think we got everything there. Here's your reminder. Silence your cell phone. I gotta say, first of all, I didn't see David bring in his trumpet.
Yeah.
But Brother Jim is saying, praise the Lord, because he's having the headache issues. So. Sometime we'll have you play when Jim's not having a headache. But, we made our August donation of 45 hardback whole King James Bibles in Spanish.
Amen.
I think the country, or the project now is somewhere in Central America. I don't think it's still in Mexico. But their website hasn't been updated as regularly because of, I think, probably because of COVID. Brother Frank found out that Fellowship Track League's website has been a little behind, and they've been having a lot of backlog because of COVID issues and all that sort of thing. 45, so that... That'll bring us up to about 1852. I think that was a good year. No, 1892. I was way off. Oh, I didn't update it from the last time. That's the problem. We got a little marker board is what I'm pointing at. I'm not pointing at you, Stephen. But 1892, so we'll be hitting the 1900 Bibles. Lord willing, and the church don't rise.
Amen.
Just a FYI, you can use the quarter folders. Each one is $5. Or you can just donate $5 or whatever amount you give. Every $5 prints a whole Bible. And they're going in areas where people have never owned a Bible before in their own language. So it's a very important mission. All right. Well, we're going to ask you to hold your questions and comments until after our current events update. This is Bronwyn's favorite part. Other than watching me do this while we sing. She likes that. So this just in, the Virginia Supreme Court reinstates a Virginia teacher who opposed transgender pronoun mandate.
Mm. Amen.
It's hard for me to pronounce those made-up words, transgender. But a word that I don't think existed when I was in school. But all he did was say that he wasn't going to call a boy, her, and he was fired. And that's him at a school board meeting after he was fired. And then also, Texas just passed a bill banning abortions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once a heartbeat is detected, and the bill now goes into effect.
Yes.
That virtually ends abortion in Texas. I think there's one little loophole that there still may be some abortions as a result, but
wow,
it's like 99 point something percent of abortions now in Texas will be stopped. You say, well, they can go across the border, and that's true, but I don't think the surrounding states are real liberal. So might be some lives really saved as a result of this. And Babylon Bee immediately came out with a headline that said, Democrat Party warns new Texas abortion bill could save lives.
Oh, no!
Like that's a bad thing in their view.
Wow.
So also we have headline reviews in the news. The first is Statistical Reality Counters the COVID Hysteria. A couple of us talked about this just a few minutes ago. This is a chart listing the world's deadliest pandemics. Some of our MeWe-ers have seen this. I posted it in our group, I believe. But if you look, this is what a real deadly pandemic looks like. The Black Death killed half the people that got it. 200 million are supposed to have died from it. The Plague of Justinian, they do debate a little bit, but 19%, 40 million deaths. Smallpox, the population had increased, is why there's more people and less percentage, but 56 million. The Antonine Plague, 5 million. Spanish Flu, 45 million. They call it the third plague, was 12 million. AIDS has killed 30 million. And way down in the corner, you can barely see the purple part of the chart, 2.7 million deaths from COVID. That's in a population with, 7.5 billion people. It's barely a blip on the map. The deaths are the same people who die every year, sadly, from the flu. Yeah. Now, there may be an argument made, if you believe the statistics, that the death rate is a little higher than the flu. But that's if you believe the statistics, and I don't. They're saying anybody who, you can die of a heart attack, and if you test positive for COVID, they count you. So this is anti-science, tyrannical nonsense. What's going on with COVID right now? If you are of a certain age, they say 65 and over, and you have comorbidities, I always have trouble with that word, you have underlying conditions that put you in danger, and severe obesity, diabetes, COPD, especially with emphysema and cancer. If you've had any cancer and been on chemo, then you should be careful. It can kill you. It is real. COVID is real. But what our government is doing is unreal. It's pure hysteria. So I'm trying to give Jessica enough time to get a picture, but you're taking way too long.
Sorry. It's not coming in good.
But the chart's on MeWe, and you're on MeWe, so get the chart there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So an example of honest physicians warning us. I just want to play a little video clip. This is like a 30-minute video, and I don't know why it just changed on me. It's like a 30-minute video, and I'm not going to play that much of it. But just a couple of minutes here. I want you to see these are real physicians. That didn't help. Let's try this one.
My name is Andrew Kaufman. I'm a medical doctor and board-certified forensic psychiatrist. This pandemic is not a real medical pandemic. The COVID-19 vaccine is not proven safe or effective because there has not been enough time. In addition, there is not a clear definition of any new disease for which it can be tested against. There has not been a virus that has been purified or shown to be the cause of an illness. Thus, there is no target for a vaccine. However, the bottom line is that since no additional deaths have occurred in relation to a new disease, there is simply no need for a new vaccine.
Hi, my name is Hilde Smet. I'm a Belgian medical doctor, and I'd like to say that the new COVID-19 vaccine is not safe and that there is no global medical pandemic. For almost 20 years, the pharmaceutical industry has been trying to develop corona vaccines, but never managed because they saw in the animal trials that there were serious side effects, autoimmune disorders, when the animal was exposed to a new wild-type virus. These autoimmune disorders are comparable with the complications we have seen in some COVID-19 patients. Now, due to the excuse of a global pandemic, the pharma industry has the permission to skip the animal trials. This means that we humans will be the guinea pigs and we might get severe side effects when we are exposed to new viruses.
My name is Nils Fosse. I'm a medical doctor in Bergen, Norway. The COVID-19 vaccine has not been proven safe and effective. It's a new technology and it's been tested on a few thousands of people in a few months. Please do your own research. This is not a real medical pandemic. The death rates in Norway are not higher than on an average year.
Dr. Elizabeth Evans, retired doctor and co-founder of the UK Medical Freedom Alliance. The COVID-19 vaccines are not proven to be safe or effective. We believe that it is reckless and unnecessary to roll out these essentially experimental vaccines that are using a completely new mRNA technology to millions of people when there is only limited short-term safety data, no evidence that they will prevent transmission of the virus, and no long-term safety data to rule out late-onset negative effects like autoimmune diseases, infertility, and cancers.
So you can see it's one after another, they're saying a lot of the same thing, but it goes on for 30 minutes showing dozens of doctors who are telling people that same thing, that the numbers do not add up to the hysteria, and that that anybody taking the vaccine is willfully a guinea pig. And, you know, we have a couple of people here who have taken it, and I always say, I'm not trying to scare anybody or anything like that, but I do have to warn people who haven't taken the vaccine yet that you're, you know, if you think you're going to lose your job and you choose to take that vaccine, that's something you feel you have to do. And there's a number of people I know who have done it. There are other people who have just been intimidated into doing it. They didn't really want to. And that's what we oppose. If you choose to get this vaccine, God bless America, let freedom ring. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want the vaccine or you are thinking about it, you need to know all the information. Now you need to know, because they're pushing the booster, which is shot number 3. And they're saying you're going to have to get one every 6 to 8 months.
Oh, fine.
None of which is there any scientific information to tell you what's going to happen to your body. And what they're also saying, I think some of the folks on our MeWe chat brought this up earlier today. I didn't have time to be on there much today, but I saw this. And it's true, and I'd seen it before, and I did a little reading after I got here, that what they're going to be saying now is, if you got the 2 shots, you are considered fully vaxxed. That all changes when the booster comes out. If you don't get the booster, you will no longer be considered fully vaccinated. Every 6 to 8 months when you're supposed to get another booster, if you don't get it, you will not be considered fully vaccinated. And that's what they're requiring of a lot of people for jobs and to go to schools and that sort of thing, to be, quote unquote, fully vaccinated.
And to receive medical care? To receive medical care as a patient?
Yeah, I'm not going to air my family information out there on the internet, but I know 2 people, but one in my family, who would not be seen by a doctor because they don't have the vaccine, and it's got to be fully vaccinated. So that means you have to have both shots, and coming soon, the booster. And your doctors, in violation of the Hippocratic Oath, will not see you. So what I'm saying is, this little crowd, no, we can't do anything on our own. But all the people listening and all the people we know who agree with us on this, if we all speak out, if we all make phone calls, write letters, send emails, talk to people, educate people. 1 out of 10 may be, you know, only willing to listen, but that's 10% more than are now taking a stand. So number 2, Joe Biden's failed Afghan policy leaves Americans to die. Now, we're receiving reports, and Mark and a couple of you told us that there have been some more Americans brought out, and we'll wait and see to, you know, if that pans out to be factual. But as of the time I left to come here tonight, they were admitting there are at least 100 Americans left in Afghanistan, and that doesn't count the translators and others who are, you know, that we had already told we would take care of. So it's a big problem. The U.S. government acknowledged Monday that Americans were left in Afghanistan who needed to be rescued, a fact that seemingly conflicts with a pledge President Biden made some 10 days earlier. But when a liar makes a pledge, don't expect much. Our wicked leaders, in addition to being liars, they do not care about the peasants. That's why they don't blink about the idea of murdering unborn children. They don't blink when they think that they're given reports that the vaccine is killing people. They don't blink to the end. We don't blink when people die in wars. They don't care. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
Yep.
And that's where we're at. And number three, we close with our current events update with yet another example of the insanity of the end times. Harvard University elects atheist as the new chief chaplain. Wait a minute. Just so you know, that's not Babylon B.
Yeah.
That's a real news story. Harvard University's new chief chaplain is an atheist. Greg Epstein, 44, was recently unanimously elected to the top spot at the college and is set to begin work this week. Epstein is the author of the book, Good Without God. I got news for this atheist. There's none good but God.
Amen.
And you aren't good without God in any way, shape, or form. He was raised Jewish. In 2005, he received ordination as a humanist rabbi from the International Institute for Secular Humanistic Judaism. That's a mouthful.
That's a thing, huh?
According to a poll from the Harvard Crimson, that's the school paper, Harvard student newspaper, what it says right there, more than 40% of the students identified as either atheist or agnostic in 2020. Now, that does not represent the general population. The general population, the number of true atheists is about 10% of that. 40% on the campus of Harvard. In 2017, it was 32%, so it's gone up 8% in 3 years. Now, I said this downstairs, but I'll say it for the record. The dumbest people in America are on our university campuses. And who said it includes the professors? And the professors are dumbing the kids down, I think was your comment. That's amen, that's right. You just go, whenever Mark Dice or Jay Leno back in the day, whenever they wanted to interview the dumbest people and get the dumbest answers and the biggest laughs, they always went to the universities. Why? Because that's where the dumbest people are. Now, they also have smart people there. I didn't say everybody on the university's dumb. I'm just saying that you'll find the dumbest people there. You might even find the smartest. It's that kind of extreme situation on a lot of campuses. And I do want to say that I'm talking about state schools and some private schools, but mostly state schools. If the government runs a school, you can guarantee it's a mental sewage. You go in and, you know what, in most state colleges, you pay a nominal fee and you can go sit in classrooms. What do they call that?
Auditing.
You can audit the classroom. And you can hear the garbage being spewed. And I've known some guys who do that. And some people snuck in with little recorders so they can just prove what they're hearing. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away when?
First.
Luke 18:8, Jesus is talking. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? What these passages are about are the last days, and they're both telling us what we should expect. And so when we see all these other things, Israel, and they are a cup of trembling in Jerusalem, and the whole world's ready to come against them. And you see the world globalist system being set up with a globalist digital currency, and you see the Sodom revival, and I could go on and on with all the signs of the end times that are taking place. And then you see, along with that, so few churches that used to preach the gospel, used to believe the Bible, so few now do. Harvard, Yale, Brown, all those universities in the Ivy League were established for the purpose of training Christian missionaries.
Yeah.
Now they need missionaries. That's where we are. Any comments, questions, real quick? Yes, so yeah, hand first.
Back when you said about the Democrats or whoever putting a blind eye or whatever, they did about. They let they
let the soldiers be killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care.
Brian?
I just want to say a couple of things. I was listening to a podcast the other day, Joe Rogan podcast. He put up a thing from the Salt Institute. And I got to double check the source, but he was saying that their Salt Institute said that the actual deaths from COVID are around 5% of what's the total reported.
Wow.
Because everything else was due to a stroke.
Yeah.
A heart attack, like you were saying.
Yeah. At Joe Rogan's getting himself in hot water, ain't he?
And they're also denying organs now to transplant patients at the University of Washington if they don't get vaccinated.
I have to put this warning out. I don't listen to Joe Rogan very often. I get the edited versions when I do. So don't turn him on and expect clean information or entertainment. But you get the little clips that people send you, and it makes the news, so you know what's going on with his program. Who else over here, Jill?
I had heard something about kids getting COVID, and like it sounded like something like maybe out of 60 kids with COVID, 40 also had something else, and like some kind of a lung thing. I was wondering if he heard anything like that?
No. I know that the death rate among kids is almost nominal. I mean, it's minimal. And they're trying to get them all shot up so they can make money, and that's child abuse.
Unless they have underlying, like, a heart condition.
Well, what it sounded like was I was interpreting it as kids that had COVID and then, because wearing masks, they had other.
Oh. Well, we predicted that, but I haven't seen the hard numbers on it. But it just makes sense. You have a bunch of kids breathing E. coli and Ebola and everything else on their mask, that a bunch of them are going to get sick.
Yeah.
Did you have your hand up, Dave?
Yeah, two things real quick. One, you're right about churches not preaching the gospel anymore. I mean, I just drove 2 hours because I can't find one near me.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, in defense of Harvard, it's likely that they couldn't find a Jeffrey Manning who worked there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's why people have asked me about being a chaplain in the jails and prisons here in Ohio. And you have to be ecumenical. You have to facilitate cults and false religions and that sort of thing. So I want to go into the prisons and preach the gospel, but to be a chaplain, you have to sell out.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult. Doug?
Yeah, the constitutional rights, it seems like, are going to be violated or heavily, you know.
That's what they're after.
And you kind of wonder how far is this going to go, you know, go on. It seems like it is.
It's going to go all the way to the point where you have to take a mark to buy, sell, or trade, or die. That's the eventual end of it.
Right.
I believe that the rapture happened before that is implemented. But all along the way, though, I've told people many times over the years, nothing says we won't suffer as Christians. All right, last comment is Jenny, and then we have to get...
I was just going to point out the Babylon Bee, they did have a version of the Harvard story. They hired Satan.
Yeah, Harvard hired Satan as the head chaplain. Might as well. All right, before Jenny sings, we're going to have prayer. And I'll ask Brother David Traylor, if you would, open the Bible study prayer. You know, David represents tonight at least 200 or 300 that will be watching live stream who would be here if they could. And we're glad to have you, David.
I just want to say the hiccups are cute.
Well,
you
it's
know
not
what's
me.
Really cute is the way she watches Papaw up here and just makes
you looking at me. All right. Jenny's going to sing a song she wrote, and it's... It's related to our study, so listen close.
Look at the party song.
I think I wrote that about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, it's old? That's not new?
No, it's old.
From her first experience. Yeah, I keep making her blow off the dust some of these songs she wrote before she met me. So I think she did her best work then. I keep her busy. She's written some good ones since we got married. So just when the Lord gives her a prompting. So let's get into the Bible. James 4:4, if you got your Bible. And if not, grab one out of the pew in front of you. James. Jenny?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. She snuck out of here before I saw her. My wife takes real good care of me.
Yes.
Just, I want to say that while she's out of the room. Good, don't worry. You know, I talk like that about her when she's around. We looked at this last week, James 4:4, but we talked a lot about the word world as it's translated and things you hear teachers say. So now we're going to pick up from there. Go ahead and read it with me. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We spent most of our previous study, as I said, establishing the necessity of context for the word world. And some well-meaning people take it upon themselves to correct the King James Bible, and they'll say, oh, it should be age. And they'll say, the Bible says, preach the gospel and make disciples of all men, preaching the gospel to the end of the age. He said, I'll be with you until the end of the age. That's in the new versions. The King James Bible says world. And we discussed how that the word world has different meanings. How many do you remember?
22.
Woo! And if you replace it with the word age, that doesn't help because age has how many?
Ten.
Yeah. So, thank you, ma'am. Mademoiselle. So, it doesn't help. A lot of the changes in the new versions. People say, oh, the new versions are easier to understand. No, they're not. Because if it's wrong, it's not easier. That's the problem. It's not about, you know what? What's more important? That it's easier to understand what it's saying or that it's accurate?
Accurate.
Accurate. And that's why we don't use the new versions, because they're not accurate. We began our look at how God views the world system and culture at the end of the study last week. The word world here is referring to the world system and culture. Scripture with scripture. That's how, how many of you have heard the saying, the best commentary on the Bible is?
The Bible.
The Bible itself. Amen. So that's why we do this, scripture with scripture. Look over at 1 John 2. That's where we read at the end of the study last week. We read over it, didn't discuss it. But 1 John 2:15 it's a very strong. I think James 4:4 is very strong. But look at what verse 15 here in 1 John 2 says. Read that with me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we're going to discuss a little more about what that exactly means, but we're just establishing the fact. How many of you in here tonight are Christians? So you're not... Kim, I'm going to have to pray for you. She was distracted by the baby. It's just funny. Everybody's hand went up. Kim's over there all lost. But you, if you're a Christian tonight, and all of you here said you are, you're not supposed to love this world. And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody in this room. I'm just saying, generally speaking, I know a lot of Christians, or at least people who say they're Christians. I take people at their word when they say they've been born again by faith in the gospel. I take them at their word, but it really is hard to take when you see them so in love with this world. And then so many of them now, used to be me being in love with the world meant you'd see them doing things, saying things, going places you wouldn't agree with. Now they're going full-fledged ally with the sodomites. Some of those same people in the 80s and 90s that you looked at and thought, man, that's some really worldly stuff you're getting involved in there. Fast forward to today, and a lot of those same people are openly allied with the LGBTQ homo movement. It's the same spirit. Look at how it ends there. There are an awful lot of Christians who evidently do not have the love of the Father in them. Because if you're in love with this world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. Not Gregology. We just read it in God's Word. Now, I want to say this for you. I don't stand up here and tell everybody, you should listen to this or you shouldn't listen to that and you shouldn't watch this or you should watch it. That's between you and God. What I'm urging you to do is be honest with God. Be honest before God. And when you know that you're getting involved with something that is worldly, something you shouldn't be involved with, don't fight God. But don't call up me and say, what should I do? Is this something I should be involved with? What I will tell you is whether I could be involved with it. I can say, well, I wouldn't. But you better pray and get... He's your Father. I'm not your Father. The Holy Spirit is to guide you, not Greg.
Amen.
But I am here to warn you, especially in this day and age. Another problem Christians have is they compare themselves among themselves. So they're like, well, most of the Christians I know do it. I'll tell you one thing right now is the thing called clubbing. You know, there are Christians who go clubbing. What's that mean? A bunch of women will get together, usually, what I've seen, Christian women, and they'll go to these dance clubs with this thump, 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 and it's dark, and everybody, most of the people are drunk or high on something. That's where I've seen most of the adultery take place. Most of the marriages that I know of in the 50 and under crowd. I was in a Baptist church years ago, and there were six women who would do that. Four of the six committed adultery and destroyed their marriages. Why? The whole time, was like, I just don't think that's something a Christian woman ought to do. I think it's the equivalent of, you know, hey, Jim, Doug, let's go down to the strip club so we can witness. I mean, putting gospel tracks in there, you know, with a 20. That just doesn't work.
Oh, wow.
But to me, it's on the same level. But that's between you and the Lord. I'm just telling you that as far as we're right here. Let's look at verse 16 now. Let's talk about this. Love not the world. What's that talking about? Read in verse 16 with me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And I'm telling you that you'll find this in Christian entertainment, let alone the world's entertainment today. A lot of what I've seen at Dove Awards and the stuff that's being awarded by the Dove Awards and other Christian awards, just pit. And, you know, most of it's using the Corrupt New Versions when they do quote the Bible, but very little of it involves the Bible. And the lyrics, you could be singing to God or you could be singing to Lucifer. Or to your dog. You can't tell by the lyrics. The guy singing or the girl singing is really loving something. Really wants something. Wants to be near them. Wants this. But they don't tell you who. And then you're like, if you're singing about Jesus, that sounds a little too sensual.
Yeah.
How many of you have been there? Listen to a song that's supposed to be a Christian song. They're supposed to be singing about Jesus. And it sounds like they're putting the moves on somebody they want to sack. And you're like, that should not be a Christian song. And then they get a Dove Award for it.
True.
I'm just giving you some of my thoughts. This describes mainstream Christianity and the world today. This isn't just the world as we are. Now you gotta look at within Christianity, Christian bookstores, churches. And I was at a church one time. And they had this praise band up there, and all the people had their hands up in the air, and they're doing this. And I look around, and about half of the people look like they're doing a dance that is simulating sex in the church service. And I'm looking around thinking, not only is this, the music meaningless, empty, and void of any meaning at all, and it's sensual and everything, but I'm looking around at everybody, and it looks like a bunch of, you know, worldly people at a rock concert, and they're all doing this bump and grind looking dance. Folks, I think that's going on probably right now in our time zone in hundreds of churches right now. We're not talking about just out there, talking about places that call themselves churches. And then verse 17, read that. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And there it is. The bottom line is, I think if you've got the right attitude, the right perspective on things, then you're not going to even have a desire to be a part of that, because you know, if you're honest, you know that if you get involved with that kind of worldly flesh, then you're going to lose reward if you are a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you got bigger problems. But if you are a Christian, you can get caught up, Christians can get caught up in this. That's why I'm not damning everybody to hell who does something I disagree with. I mean, we all can get caught up in things, and we all do at times. And go in the wrong direction here and there. We have to be very long-suffering, patient, pray for one another. But we also, there's a time where you got to say something. I referred to those women earlier. I said something to a couple of the women, and they both just basically mocked me. They both left their husbands. So I was nailing, you know, I put my finger
right on their sin.
Yeah. That's what you get from a lot of these people. When you do try to talk to them about it, they'll mock you and laugh you to scorn, as we saw in that movie referring to Jesus. But then later on, you're justified. You see what happens. Doug?
That's why you have to stay in the book every day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Yeah. You know, the right book with the right attitude, you and you stay in.
Up, yeah.
So back to James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Can you imagine if I got up here and preached and just looked at y'all and said, "You bunch of whores!" That's basically what James is saying here.
Yeah, that's right.
He's writing a letter to the saved Jews from the 12 tribes, and he's really bothered about what he's seeing. And ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? I once had somebody say, "I don't understand, what's that mean, enmity with God?" Well, read the rest of the verse. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's what it means. And that's some serious business there. So it is imperative that we understand God's disgust with this present world system. And I'm going to borrow time now, because they say about 8 o'clock is when Bronwyn turns. So let's see how long this lasts. If you really believe what God says about this life, your focus will be on the next. And that's what, I'll just tell you, what saved me from falling way more than I ever have. I've had my moments. But I know I would be totally given over if it weren't for the fact that I have gone out of my way to, as Doug said, to be in the Word. So when I'm not reading it, my wife and I read it together, but there's time of the day where I listen to it. I also listen to books, and sometimes it's not necessarily Christian books, but it's listening to books that I can use in my studies and all that. But I also listen to Christian books. I'm listening to Luther's commentary on Galatians right now. And there's times where I don't agree with it, but other times it's really good. And music. A lot of music. The Bible, when it talks about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it's talking about you doing that throughout the day, every day. And so I encourage any of you, if you're not listening to a lot of good Christian music, you need to start. And when I first got saved, I was into rock and roll, man. It's all rock and roll. And I was a lead singer in a garage band, and I had, you know, thought I was going to end up, you know, eventually being a lead singer of a real rock group and everything. And yes, I had hair, and it was long and all that, and I didn't have any facial hair. Couldn't grow a mustache to save my life. But I jokingly now refer to the fact I was the lead screamer. Yeah. And up until a few years ago, I could actually still do that, but now I do it. I start coughing and carrying it. But, yeah, and scaring the babies, scaring the wife. But the thing about Christian music was when I got saved, I didn't like a lot of it. Even the Christian rock I tried to listen to sounded kind of corny to me. So what'd I do? I actually started listening to the old hymns.
Oh, those are good.
And some of them I knew from growing up. I heard a lot of them growing up, so I was familiar with them. But a lot of them I had never really heard or paid attention before. But over time, I mean, I really learned to love these hymns. We had a fellow that passed away a few years ago. Some of you remember Mark M. Bowden. You know, and he hadn't heard hardly any of the hymns. Or at least he didn't know them, put it that way. And so then when he'd come to church, he'd hear these songs. He said, you know, I really love it. He would always say, I like the teaching. I'm not saying I don't love the teaching, but the music, he said, that's really, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The lyrics, and it's really pretty and all that. And so I think as time went on until the Lord took him home, he was getting into those hymns. So what do? You spend your time in your mind, in your heart, filling your heart and mind with God's word, then you can think upon it, meditate on it, and think about the songs. Listen to music, but you can also remember what you sing in church and sing it in your heart throughout your day. Surround yourself with good Christian people whose conversations will be such that will be edifying. And then, you know, yes, there's times where you want to approach the lost and try to talk to other people. But we're talking about the majority, the mass majority of your day should be in fellowship with God and with other of the brethren. And if you'll do that, you'll find yourself getting less and less enticed by and further away from the world. Because the love of the Father growing in you is what keeps you from wanting to be involved in the world and falling into the things of the world. And folks, some of you may think, oh, this is kind of basic. Well, I wish it was, but man, this is what's killing people today. The world and worldliness. And you need to understand this for yourself and your loved ones so you can talk to them about it. Turn over to Matthew 10. I'll show you what Jesus said about this. Matthew 10:29. Matthew 10:29. I think I got the right. It's a good passage, but it's not the one I was referring to. I don't know how I copied and pasted, I think, the wrong text. Give me a second to look here. Oh, okay. It's Mark. Mark 10:29. Like it never happened. Mark 10. Oh, I spelled Mark with two A's. Oh. Modern technology is great when it works.
Yes, it is.
Which is happening.
Here we go. Mark 10:29. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, read verse 30, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Now look at that. We don't want to have to do that, but I could probably have a raise of hands and have everybody in the room with their hand up in just a couple of seconds if I start naming these off. How many of you had a parent or a sibling or a child or some other relative or a spouse or someone you were engaged to be married or a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever who have forsaken you because of your stand for the Lord? All kinds of friends, yeah. I've got family that don't want me around. I've got old friends, totally. A lot of them deleted me off of Facebook 2 or 3 years ago when I was on Facebook. I didn't say anything out of the ordinary. I was just opposed to gay marriage. I was opposed to abortion. I believe Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Amen.
That's enough. Reality check, when you focus on pleasures of this world, you put yourself in opposition to God. But that's better than loving this world and having all the friends. You're better off being, I said that wrong, but you know, understand what I mean. You're better off having your friends and family forsake you than to be in opposition to God. That is why God saves us from this world system. Galatians 1, 3 to 5. Galatians 1 I happen to think of because I was listening to Martin Luther's commentary. It reminded me of this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 says, Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. If you dare read verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So question, why would a Christian love what God saved us from? Why would you love what God saved you from? He not only saved you from being a part of, but suffering the wrath of God on this fallen world. Why would you love that? And that phrase, you ever heard people talk about that? The worldly Christian.
Yeah.
It's a complete contradiction. But it should be. Are there areas of your life that are worldly? That's what we want to pose to you tonight in our close. Are there areas of your life that are worldly that you know what happens to me? I can't speak for everybody, but when I'm doing something and I've crossed that line, or I'll give you an example, every once in a while I put on a movie. Just trying to relax. Jenny and I, not too long ago, we put on something to watch. And at some point, I just stopped it and said, I can't watch any more of this. Yeah. And Jenny said, good, because I was about to leave the room. And it's just, you can sense the Holy Spirit being grieved in you. When you sense that, just do what's right. I mean, I got up one day and walked out of a movie in a theater years ago. And I can't tell you, I'm not condemning anybody who goes to a movie theater. I just stopped going. Because so much of the movies we watch, it was just, you either I wanted to walk out of or did. Music on the radio, you flip the dial sometimes. If about 2/3 of that doesn't grieve you, what's on there? Folks, we're in that kind of world, and it's not easy, but it's a necessary stand that we need to take. And you know what? There's a lot of people who can be influenced by us. Other people do watch you. And if you as a Christian go along with this stuff, you could be leading them into it as well. And then other times where you take a stand, you might encourage them and embolden them to take a stand.
Yeah.
So keep all of that in mind. Psalm 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Verse 24, "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let that be our prayer. It's extremely personal, and it's also extremely important. And I almost got it all in before Bronwyn lost her cool. But that's where we pick up. Now, she's been very good.
Yeah. Good job, Bronwyn.
Let's sing 397 in the hymn book. If you can, stand. I just thought this was a very fitting song to end the study with. "I have decided to follow Jesus." Stand if you can, I said. You don't have to, but if you can. Page 397. All three verses. Say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here,
there, or in the air.
Bye, onliners. We love you guys.